Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all of the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when you use code THPN during signup. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist means so much more with the DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. Baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all the daily fantasy action, where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players, so what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Only at DraftKings.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Bolts broadcast. My name is Mike Mitchelson, Chase Crawshaw with me today. And Chase, we're not right across from each other anymore. We are recording in separate studios or just, you know, like separate houses and our own rooms because we don't really have studios because we're college kids. But yeah, we're not together anymore. So that's got to be hurting you. But overall, how you feeling today?
Well, I feel blessed that I don't have to be around your nasty presence anymore. So, you know, I'm chilling.
I'll let you do the show by yourself if you want to.
All right, sounds good. So on today's episode of Bolts Broadcast, we're talking about a little bit of this, maybe a little bit of that. What are you guys thinking?
I don't think you can, when you're doing a show by yourself, I don't think you can ask what are you thinking?
No. What do you know? What do you know? Nothing.
Yeah, not much, honestly. But Chase, on today's Bolts broadcast, we're going to be talking about a couple of milestones right in the beginning. Then we're going to be looking at a game review, game preview, as always. Currently, the Carolina Hurricanes and the Tampa Bay Lightning playing right now, about 3 minutes left in the second period. And it's not going so hot, but we'll talk about that and the game from yesterday in a little bit. And after that, we get to talk about Bob McKenzie's midseason draft ranking. So going to be very excited to do that. And Chase, I have to say, I took a peek at him. The guy that you had as your number one, I think it was about a month ago, who you told me was your number one, no longer or not at number one in Bob McKenzie's rankings. But we'll get on to that in a sec. First, Chase, milestones to hit on. Patrick Marleau sets the all-time games played record. I know you're not a big fan of this.
Well, it's hard to, like, say I'm not a fan because, like, it's impressive what he did. But at the same time, like, it just sucks that the Gordie Howe's record like that is gone. I mean, records are made to be broken, I guess. So good for Patty Marleau. I don't want to take anything away from him because, I mean, all he's doing is, you know, playing hockey, living out his dream, living out his career. And he just happened to be on an incredible run of not missing games and, you know, doing decent enough to stay in the lineup. But it's going to be weird knowing, you know, that the trivia answer to all-time games played is Patrick Marleau instead of Gordie Howe, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And what are your thoughts on Marlowe's chances to enter the Hall of Fame now that he sits atop the games played leaderboard? Does it seem more likely now? Because before this, we always talked about it, and you always said he seems like one of those Hall of really good players, but not a Hall of Fame player. Does that change now?
Yeah, he's going into the Hall of Fame. Regardless, he holds the all-time game record. If he was scoring half a point per game as a forward in that span, he would still go in the Hall of Fame because he owns that record now. So he's making it, and he's done enough in his career where you could argue. Like, if you really felt that firmly about it, you could argue he could get in anyway. So that's just kind of helps push him over the top.
And I'd argue that it would be really, really bad. Like it just wouldn't feel right if the all-time games played leader wasn't a Hall of Famer. Could you imagine that? That would be weird as fuck, weird as hell. So yeah. I expect that to happen, but the question is, when does he stop? Is he done after this year now that he's got the record, or is he gonna continue to try to play when, what, the last 3-4 years he really hasn't looked like Patty Marlowe?
Yeah, you know, he's obviously taking steps back. It's not like he's completely irrelevant, but like kind of this season, just, you know, he's just kind of there, really, is all it is. I can't imagine that he like plays after this year. I mean, he's got to be done. He's got really nothing left in the tank.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chase, we go from a historic record to a very nice personal record with a player from the Tampa Bay Lightning, Braden Point. He gets his 300th point.
Yeah, isn't that fancy, eh? But good for Braden Point. Obviously one hell of a player. He's been very good for our Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, we know that. The fans know that. The NHL knows that. He's been awesome. So this is a very well-deserved milestone. Many more to come.
Absolutely. So he did that in our Carolina game yesterday. And Chase, why don't we go over to that now? Take a look at what happened. It was a close game. And luckily, the Tampa Bay Lightning came out on top.
Yes, sir. You know, it's a little different. Yeah, right now, as we kind of hit on. But yeah, you know, it was a good effort. Obviously, you know, a 3-2 win is a great way to come out. I mean, we kind of dominated when it came down to it. I would say, you know, like out shooting by 9, faceoffs are pretty even, but just watching the game, I felt like it should have been Tampa's game anyway. The game goes to overtime. Yanni Gordon, you know, that's the winner. It was getting a little scary though with that blown lead. And obviously, you know, when you got threats like Andrei Svechnikov out there, he's a threat to scoring time on the ice. He helped kind of break their shutout, I guess, in the second period. And kind of from there, Carolina really stepped it up and then got one more in the third. But yeah, it was a good team win.
We talked about their goaltending and how it's really been a solid unit for them. And Peter Mrazek had another really good game against us as he put up a .917 save percentage, stopped 33 of 36 shots. And that's something we're seeing right now in the game that's currently happening. We finally just got on the board before the second period ended, but it's took some time to actually get on the board.
Yeah, I mean, we're not like really tuned into the game right now. We're kind of just muck monitoring through our stats since we're recording, a little hard to do. But hopefully we can, you know, tune in afterwards and kind of see them step up their play. This would be a big win if they can come back and get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now we're just kind of getting outplayed as of the current moment. They've got 27 shots. The Tampa Bay Lightning have 18. And it looks like the Hurricanes have kind of dominated the second period. But luckily, Braden Point able to get on the board with a little less than 3 minutes left in that second period. So if the team can come out on top after going down 3-0, that would be absolutely huge. A two-game win streak to propel us into the Columbus series, that would be huge.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, you get that momentum going. If we can let me restructure. I don't know how I want to word this. Jesus. If we can get that momentum going and kind of keep carrying it throughout the regular season and just be really, you know, kind of refreshed and have a new kind of sense of energy, I guess, for playoffs, I mean, that'd be fantastic. So hopefully we just keep on rolling.
Columbus next. We've got quite some experience with Columbus, as in our last, 5 series, we've played them in two of those series. So a team where we've kind of traded back and forth. Our last series was a 1-1 split. We've got Columbus on Thursday and Columbus on Sunday. What are your thoughts for this one? We are going to be home, luckily. The last series we're in Columbus, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see because Columbus, really, they're not that like special of a team or anything. We're kind of seeing that this year. At least when they're playing some other teams, you know, they're really struggling. You know, kind of weird situations going on. Max Domi got healthy scratched tonight. Just kind of weird things going on in Columbus. But regardless, we're 3-3 with them. For whatever reason that may be, I don't know. They do play a team game and a good team game. And when they are on, they're a hard team to kind of control and to score on. But getting down to the end of the season, things seem like they're kind of falling apart for them. I think Tampa can easily come out with 2 wins here.
Now, Chase, I've got to ask you. The Tampa Bay Lightning, over the past 3 seasons, have kind of struggled a little bit against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And we know that from 2 postseasons ago. We know what happened. Last postseason, we did avenge ourselves, and we were able to come out on top against the Columbus Blue Jackets. However, it was a very close series. And right now, like you said, it's a 3-3 split in the regular season. What is it about this Columbus team that gets to Tampa? Is it the grittiness? Is it a mind game? Is it just Tortorella being a great coach? Is it the skill players? Which I don't think that's going to be the answer, but what are your thoughts? Why is Columbus so good against the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I mean, it's all about the team game, man. They play this kind of shutdown almost style. It's kind of like a New York Islanders, but less defensive, a little more offensive. Where it's, everyone has got to be on the same page. Everyone's got to be going. You have to be willing to do everything all over the ice. And pretty much everybody in Columbus is, because the ones that are not, they're either sat or scratched. So it's just kind of a team game. And then, yeah, when they're communicating well, when they're on, it's just hard to penetrate.
Well, Chase, before we head to the commercial break, did you see that Spencer Knight, he actually dressed, I think it was last night, Dreiger got the sit. He was healthied. Bobrovsky played with Knight as the backup. What are your thoughts? When are we going to see Knight now that he's actually finally getting dressed? When's he going to be able to come in?
I don't think they play him still until they kind of clinch playoffs. They've been playing really well. No really need to throw a rookie goalie in there in case he does struggle and maybe team loses a little bit of confidence. Just kind of keep what's working for them. If they get that playoff berth clinched and then they can give him a couple starts down the stretch, that'd be great. But yeah, I mean, just don't hold your breath if you're waiting for him to start, because I think it still could be a little bit.
That's what I want to do, though. I want to hold my breath for him to start because he's such a young, just talented stud. And yeah, I mean, he's a great player. So I want to see him get on the ice as soon as possible. And then quick update on the standings, because Carolina obviously in first place with our Tampa Bay Lightning currently sitting third. Well, because we took the game off of Carolina on Monday, we're only 1 point back, currently down 3-1 heading into the third period. If we're able to bring this back and come out on top, we will be sitting first in the Central Division. So that would be huge. Get home ice advantage. We know how good our Tampa Bay Lightning are at home.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fantastic. If you can take a hold of that first place and just hold the rest of the way, it really bolsters your confidence. You know, kind of just how I mentioned, if they can go on that run and keep that confidence going, that would be big for the playoffs. So same kind of thing here. If you know, this would be a 4-goal total at least that you would need for a comeback win. That would really get your morale going, and then you jump into first place with it. I mean, it's just a great recipe there.
Absolutely. Well, Chase, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. After the commercial break, we're going to be taking a look at Bob McKenzie's mid-season draft rankings. We're also going to be talking about possible records that could be breaking, all-time records, that is, possible all-time records that could be breaking here in the future. We'll be right back.
HF Boards is the internet's largest and longest running community for discussion surrounding ice hockey, including coverage of the NHL, college teams, and anywhere else the sport is played globally. Join in nearly 500,000 active conversations happening now on HF Boards.
All right, and we are back. Chase, let's take a peek at Bob McKenzie's mid-season draft rankings. Like I mentioned earlier on in the show, about a month ago, you said that your number one was Brant Clark. Right now in Bob McKenzie's rankings, he's not sitting one. He's not even sitting top five.
Yeah, so Owen Power actually in these rankings, he's number one. and got all 10 votes at number one. But they said that it's not like as firm, you know, as like Alexis Lafreniere, for example. It's someone that they all think really any of these guys below him at to a certain point could go ahead of him, especially the top two. But Brandt Clark, you know, he has a lot more love in like the analytical side of the scouting and like the Twitter sides, like the kind of scouts like myself that aren't, you know, necessarily NHL scouts. And I don't want to be that guy, but this like online scouting community that's developed over the last few years, they tend to be more right than the NHL guys because it's still a lot of old players that think kind of older ways. So I'm not going to put too much stock into these lists, but regardless, it's still interesting to see, to kind of have an idea where they're going to go in the NHL draft. I think Brandt Clark, if he can, I think he's able to play in the U18s. I don't know for sure. As if he can get some tape there and play well, I think he's going to go up in this ranking, probably finish in the top three. I think they're holding it against him that he played in Slovakia. He played really well in the men's league in Slovakia. I mean, 15 points through 26 games as a 17-year-old defenseman. I mean, I don't know what the hate is for.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, Chase, let's go over the top five here. So, like you mentioned, Owen Power, number one. McKenzie actually has Gunther and Edvinson both tied for second. So, the sniper and the big Swedish D-man tied for second. Then you got Matty Beniers out of Michigan. He is currently fourth with Luke Hughes sitting fifth. Any surprises there?
I would have Brandt Clark in there instead of Luke Hughes, even though Luke Hughes is very good. Dylan Gunther's been, he's been a kind of a mixed bag. I've seen a lot about him. You know, he's worthy of being a top pick, as low as he's maybe a late first round guy. But overall, I'd say it's pretty fair. Like those top four guys are all, I would say, in my top five with Brandt Clark. At least it's my personal rankings, but it's not like it's something that's too far fetched or anything.
Yeah. And then Chase, one thing that really stood out to me when looking at this list, if you look at number 14, you've got another goalie. And we got at number 10, we got Jesper Wallstedt out of the Swedish league, the SHL, a good player that we've had our eye on for quite a bit. But number 14 comes another goalie, a goalie that stands at 6'6". Sebastian, what is it, Kosa or Kosa?
Kosa, yeah, Sebastian Kosa. I mean, he's had an awesome season. He's kind of a real riser. A guy that I really didn't have, you know, like too many eyes on myself coming into the season. I knew his name, didn't really know that much about him. But, I mean, he's played 11 games in WHL with a 1.45 goals against and a .942 save. He's looked really good doing it. You know, those are Carter Hart type of numbers in the WHL. So, it's, you know, you kind of look at it as a comparable if you want to. And, I mean, Carter Hart became an NHL goalie pretty quick. Sebastian Kosa is getting his love as a first-round goalie. Because especially in a year like this, you know, you've got some good talent in the first round. But it's nowhere near the last few years. You know, the top end isn't necessarily as high. Even in the middle, it's not quite the high. So scouts and teams are kind of thinking, you know what, maybe we should go a goalie a little early. This would be your year to do it. There's two pretty good goaltenders. If we take one in the first round, it's not going to be too bad because the other talent isn't necessarily kind of threatening that positional value, I guess. And remember, these are NHL scouts that are ranking these guys. So it makes sense, and he's really someone that we could very well see in the top 15. Hell, maybe even we see two goalies in the top 10.
That would be absolutely wild. Well, Chase, continuing with goalie, Jesper Wallstedt, we've talked about him on the show before, but let's try to put a little bit more perspective for this guy and what his ceiling is, what his talent level is. Where would you put him amongst the likes of Spencer Knight and Yaroslav Askarov?
I'd probably put him number three on that list, you know, behind Knight and Askarov, respectively. I think that's a pretty safe 1-2-3. He very well could become better than those two. It's not impossible. But if I had to guess, I'd say he's probably third in that totem pole. He's a very, very safe bet to be a starting NHL goaltender and a pretty good bet to be a top 10, top five goalie in the league easily. And if you can get that, I mean, that's obviously fantastic. You know, he's looked really well this year. He's obviously playing in the top Swedish league. It's tough to do as a 17-year-old goalie, but he's played really well. Honestly, depending who has the first overall pick, I would not be surprised if he goes first overall.
Wow. That is quite the, not really a prediction, but quite a statement. Wow. That would be awesome to see because we haven't seen that in quite a while. So to see that after seeing Askarov and Spencer Knight go pretty high because 11 and 13, you don't see that every year. And to see Wallstedt possibly go number one, that would be absolutely crazy. But Chase, there's a name on this list that we've known for quite some time. And a year ago, year and a half, 2 years ago, it was this guy's draft. You know, it was his to lose. He was the top guy for a couple of years, but he's started to slide down the draft board and currently ranked 20th. I think the last time we checked up on him, he was in the top 10 still, or at least hovering around that 10 range. Now he's sitting 20th. Atu Ratu not looking good.
Yeah, he said it was his to lose, and he certainly lost it. So Atu Ratu is really like a cautionary tale of ranking prospects too far ahead, because a lot happens from the ages of 16 to 18 in development. It's incredible. So you see these other guys that developed a little more than him. He didn't develop quite as much. You know, he's gone to the top finish league. He's had some success. He's looked okay in some instances, but for the most part, he's looked kind of terrible, to be honest. You know, he's gotten sent back to the U-20s a couple times. That's never good for a guy that you're looking at as a top pick. So it's pretty worrisome, if I'm going to be honest. You know, I've seen a little bit of him play. I need to watch more to make like a really fair conclusion on him. But there's some pretty ugly moments, as I mentioned. I think he can still be an NHL player. I think that's a very safe bet. He's going to go in the first round for a reason. But there's a lot of NHL scouts that are kind of giving him like a Curtis Lazar type of prediction, where they think he's going to be a very good number three center, and that's about it. And do you take a number three center in the first round? The answer is no, because you get Curtis Lazar.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, any chances that he drops out of the first round?
Yeah, I would definitely say it's not impossible. It's more of a safe bet that he's going to go in the first round. But with the U18s coming up, there could be some guys that really kind of jump off the page that didn't get much playing time this year that could really force him down.
It's really unfortunate, because this is a kid that we loved to watch 2 years ago during the World Juniors. It kind of felt like a Finnish Austin Matthews. He was very big for his age, and that's what Austin Matthews was for America when he played at 16 years old. It was one of those where it was like, okay, this could be a real stud. And sure enough, everything kind of falls apart. I think a really cool story, though, would be if he goes to Seattle in the second round and he really blossoms and becomes that player that we thought he could be.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. Like, what I really want for him to actually happen, though, is step up his play and prove that he's just worth it and be a first rounder. Because I still like him, and I've heard interviews, and he sounds like a decent dude and a humble kid. So I hope he can work out, because like, you can see that he has some high end ability, but he just doesn't know how to put it out there. So a team, they should be willing to take a shot on him in the first round. But hell, if he falls to the second, that'd be just a great scenario if Seattle could grab him.
Absolutely. Well, Chase, we're going to move on and talk about some potential all-time records being broken. If you do want to take a look at the Bob McKenzie's midseason prospect rankings, we'll retweet that on Bolt's broadcast. But Chase, we got to have a conversation. We just saw a games played record get broken by Patty Marleau. What's the next record going to be broken? There's a couple that we can talk about. Goalie wins in a season, maybe 48. Most goals, maybe, with Ovechkin out there. What are we thinking, or what are you thinking, could be the next record to be broken?
So if I honestly had to guess, I would probably say it's goalie wins in a season, because 48, you know, it's a good amount of wins, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's like really not even that much. Braden Holtby and Martin Brodeur are currently tied, holding that record. You know, a couple of active players, or active goalies who have come close. Vasilevsky, Carey Price, Connor Hellebuck have all hit 44 wins. Pekka Rinne's hit 43. Fleury's hit 42. So, you know, some of those guys are older. But Vasilevsky and Hellebuck, two examples of guys that could easily hit this mark. You know, next season, if they have a full season, these are the probably, for my money, the top two goalies in the league right now. They could easily be on, you know, especially Vasilevsky. I mean, we see what Tampa can do, especially when he's rolling. If he gets 65 starts next year, I mean, who's to say he doesn't win 50 of them, at least, honestly. So I think this one is probably the most likely to be broken, or at least the closest to be broken. But of course, that goals record is something they've got to keep an eye on, because Ovi's definitely getting closer and closer, but all these lockouts and pandemics are really screwing him.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I was interested in losing money in sports gambling like you, I would bet on the goalie wins in a season. I feel like that's just the most logical. But you're right. We do have to keep an eye on the goals record, because who knows? Maybe it takes 3-4 seasons until the goalie wins record is broken. Well, at that point, that goals record could be getting really, really close. So definitely got to keep an eye on Ovechkin. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little surprised that he's not really going off for his own standards this year. He had a good little stretch at the beginning of the year, but since then he's kind of slowed down, and at this pace, he's going to need to play quite a few more years to make sure to beat this goal record.
Yeah. I mean, offensively, Washington's just been kind of underwhelming. So it could be kind of in part to their COVID situation earlier in the year. Maybe, you know, I kind of hope they get it rolling at least a little bit for Ovechkin's sake. I'd like to see him break this goal record. So if he can go on a little heater here at the end of the year, go in the next season and just be ready to roll. I mean, it's possible, but it looks less and less likely every day, I'd say.
Absolutely. And I do have to say, unless a goalie comes out of nowhere and breaks the wins in a season record, like a UC Saros or a, hell, Peter Mrazek just goes off for Carolina next year or something. Unless that happens, like if it's a realistic goalie like Vasilevsky or Hellebuck, I'm going to be excited for whoever breaks the records, because we talked about how Marlowe, like, nothing to take away from him, but it's not exactly the person you look at when you think, man, this guy's a true Iron Man. This is a guy that is one of the top in the league, and he definitely deserves to have the most games played. But Ovechkin definitely deserves most goals. Vasilevsky and Hellebuck, maybe two of the most talented goalies we've seen in this league. So definitely deserve to break that record as well.
100% agree.
All right, Chase, we're going to move on to hockey name of the day. Why does that guy only have three letters in his first name?
Because he's awesome.
All right, we're going to go Rock McCaw.
Yeah, Rock McCaw. I mean, nothing too hard of this one, just an awesome name. So yeah, Rock McCaw. He's a Slovenian forward playing in the Czech second league right now. You know, it's between the third and second league. Played a little bit in the first league when he was younger, but not too special of a player. You know, he's a good player for the third league. Nothing special for the second. He's a 24-year-old forward, 6'2", 198 pounds. Yeah, so, you know, not too shabby. Well, something kind of interesting about him, you know, you click on his Elite Prospects page, he has a goalie profile too. So I don't know exactly what the situation was. I'm going to guess they had an injury. Actually, it says right here. He served as a backup goalie on January 29th, 2012, in a game when he was playing in the U-20s in Slovenia. So just randomly, you know, they have an injury, and he just goes and plays the backup goalie role.
That's very interesting. And, you know, when I think of his last name, I just think of, I don't even know what it was, but when everyone was calling each other Kuh, like last summer or whatever. What's
up, Kuh?
What up, my Kuh?
That's fair. Kuh. That's fair.
All right, well, cool name and pretty nice little story there, too. But, Chase, we are going to head on out and check out the rest of the Lightning Hurricanes game. So why don't you hit them with an outro, and we'll get out of here.
As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you'd like to become a patron on Patreon, we'd really appreciate it. Nothing required. You can support not just us, but the whole network that way. If you like our content, make sure to check it out. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, that is at Bolts Broadcast. Follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at Hockey Podnet, that's at Hockey Podnet. And then follow WNP on Twitter as well at WNP Sports Pod, that's WNP Sports Pod. We got a mock draft coming out. It was a ton of fun, so make sure to check that out. Make sure to go to thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Find all the podcasts in the network right there. Boom, click the logo. Listen easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, rate us 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns, and use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.